Everybody can start turning to Psalm 46 this morning. That's the 46th chapter of the Psalms. I'll say we'll have most of the verses on the screen, but there will be a few versions that we read out of we do not have. Today, though, and many of you guys recognize it, it is September 11th. And you guys probably can all remember what you were doing on that day in 2001 when you heard the news of the attacks on our nation. 21 years ago today, I remember I was sitting in a thermodynamics class taking an exam when there was a knock on the door and the professor walked out in the hallway. Then he came back in with an extremely confused look on his face, like he didn't know what to do. And then he just abruptly ended class. He didn't even care if we turned in our exams. He just said, go home, turn on the news, and see what's happening in our nation. Nobody expected what we saw on the TV that day. One of the things about tragedies like what happened on 9/11, though, is that we recognize that we have a dependence on God. One of the key lessons that we had when reflecting now on the events of that day is that when something happens, we have the greatest person in the universe to go through it with. At the time, I was only 20 years old. That was long before I knew Jesus. Things didn't make sense to me. It looked a lot different then than it does now. But I realize now that God is there for all of his people. I wasn't a child of God at the time. I was a child of the world. I didn't recognize the comfort that God had available to everyone. What I thought I knew about Christianity at the time was that they had a list of rules that you had to follow. I thought that you had to dress up and look a certain way on Sundays when you went to church. What church I had been exposed to had a lot of people standing up, sitting down, responsive reading, stuff that didn't make sense to me at the time. But nobody had shared to me about the person of who Jesus is. Sure, I had heard of John 3:16, but that on its own didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I was missing out on what God had planned. I was living for the world, not even recognizing who God actually is, not understanding for myself. God wants to be known by us, though, not just that he's our ticket into heaven, that the only way to get to heaven is through him, but he desires for us to recognize that he is here for us here on the earth as well, that he wants us to see heaven on earth, for his will to be done here on earth as much as it is in heaven. For his kingdom to be seen and known here, not just in the sweet by and by. You know, as we reflect on the troubles of the past, we can't think of how it'll help us, though, in the future as well. Some of what I had wished I had known then would have extremely helped me, or would have helped me extremely. So we're starting in Psalm 46 in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. We always need God. But in times of trouble, we can't help but fully embrace that we need Him. God can be trusted even when things seem to fall apart. He desires to be our refuge and strength. When things get hard, He wants to be the one that we run to. He wants to be that fortress, the impenetrable place that we hide, where we seek shelter from what is bad for us. He wants to help us. Holy Spirit, one of the names that Jesus had said of Him was that He was the Helper. God's nature then is still His nature now. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament still. He does not change. So because God is where we run to, in verse 2 there, the psalmist says that we will not fear. And then he goes on to list some of the things that might shake us. It doesn't matter if the world is falling apart, if it's crumbling around us. It doesn't matter if the world's just being weird and odd, if it's shifting and changing. We shouldn't fear because God is the one that we run to. We'll talk about fear in a little bit here, but above all, we seek God. We run to Him. Even when it seems like the voices and the noises of the cares of this world are too much, God still hears us. And He is so close that we still hear Him. God's desire is to comfort us and help us see the joy in all things. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 in two other translations, and we don't have either of them on the screen, but try to listen to how rich it is in these other versions. Out of the New Living Translation, "A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." And then out of the Passion Translation, "God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to His people. His river flows right through the city of the God's Most High, into His holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of His city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, His help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in uproar, with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises His voice, and the earth begins to disintegrate before Him. Here He comes, the Commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us." The Passion Translation seems to be more of a paraphrase, but it's so rich in what it says there. He will fight for us. He desires for our desire to be Him. He desires for us to embrace and walk in victory over the enemy. He wants us to be comforted by Him. He wants to comfort us with His Holy Spirit. Again, God shows us how He's the same God of old. One of the other names that Jesus had used for Holy Spirit was the Comforter. God is faithful. If He did it then, He'll do it today. And He does still do it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. He says comfort five times in two verses there. But God's desire is for us to be comforted regardless of what is going on. In fact, he shows us a few things in just those two verses. First off, God's very nature is comfort. It says, God of all comfort. Second, he comforts us in all our tribulation. Not just some of it, not just the easy stuff, but the stuff that we see a quick end to. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Finally, he shows that we receive the promise that we are being transformed where we are like him. And then we comfort others who are in trouble with the same comfort that we've already been comforted by God. God uses people. Yes, he has that direct relationship with us, but he also uses people. But only as they reside in that relationship with God. God has given us himself, but also each other, and desires us to be remained involved with each other. Proverbs 27:17, very familiar to many. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This is part of the reason that it's critical to do life together. For us to gather together, to be genuine with each other while we're together. To be honest and allow each other to speak into our lives. You know, we just had a men's meeting yesterday. And you guys may think it's just a chance to gather together and eat. But you don't realize, and maybe you do, that God is in all of our conversations. He's speaking to each other through our lives. How we humble ourselves when we recognize that we're going through something. Asking for prayer for one another. For what's going on in our lives. For hearing what's not going our way and what's difficult at the time for you. We all need God. And it's as we submit to him and recognize that, we recognize that we're not God. So we seek him in our relationship. He's the only one that can do anything. Faith is critical to our walk. It puts us in alignment to his will because God is with us all the time. You know, when we hear the name Emmanuel, a lot of us instantly think of Christmas time. Maybe you think of the Christmas carol, O come, O come, Emmanuel. But his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's important to celebrate and think about all the time, not just when reflecting on Jesus' birth. Jesus was only born once, but then he was with us ever since. God does want us to recognize that he is there all the time. When we're praising him for things that went well, he is with us. When we're facing difficult times, he is with us. That's why God has said throughout his word, do not fear, because he is with us. He said it to Isaac in Genesis 26:24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. I'm only going to go into it a couple of times here, but he says it again. You whom I have taken in Isaiah 41:9, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He says those words, fear not, for I am with you together more often than not. In Isaiah 43, in verse 5, he says it again, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I've created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. He says, do not fear, because I am with you, together quite often. God is with us. We should not fear. God wants us to have faith, not fear, because there is no fear when it comes to God. Fear becomes blinders when we're trying to see by faith. Fear holds us back from recognizing and releasing our faith in God. Fear keeps us on the sidelines. It doesn't allow us to recognize the freedom that we have in Christ. It doesn't build us up. It doesn't encourage us. But here's the good news. God eliminates that fear when we reside in him. Fear must go. It has no place in his people. I heard it said this week, it's one of those things, there's a lot of cool stuff on the other side of fear. I heard it in my spirit man and it started leaping. My spirit man was jumping for joy because it was a nugget if I ever saw one. There's a lot of cool stuff on the other side of fear. When we get over fear, we drop what a man's opinion is going to be. We don't care what men are going to think. All we care about is doing the will of the Father. That's cool stuff right there. That's why God is telling us not to fear. Don't get consumed with worry. Don't let anxiety get a hold of you. Yes, there might be times when we hear something and our mind goes somewhere. But God is right there with us. God is right there with us all the time. Nothing can change that. God promised that he'd be with us. He doesn't go back on his word. The good news is that God is constant in our lives. He doesn't change. He's not a variable. He's not up sometimes and down others. People may change. People may get caught up in a struggle. But God is always good. We do have an enemy. And he tries to get us off kilter. The enemy wants to try to throw us off. He wants us to get our focus off of God and him being our sustainer. He wants us to get our focus off of God because he's the one that we look to and we put our trust in. Our hope is in God. It's not in man. It's not in circumstances. It's not in the government. It's not in our situation. Our expectation of God is up here. Nothing else can come close. If we put our faith in money, it'll let us down. If we put our faith in man, it won't measure up. But God is faithful. He's there in all the times. We read the first half of Psalm 46, but the last part of it continues with the same message. It has the all-familiar verse, starting in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We need to turn over anything that tries to steal our joy to God. He's the only one that can do anything about it anyway. Brian Simmons, in writing the Passion Translation, he says in these verses, "Surrender your anxiety, be still, and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us." Our God is on our side. There's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he can't turn around. He is the God of possible. Impossible isn't a word to him. The only way that we're going to have any peace about something is to turn it over to him. And we have to remember that God is God, and we are not. When we accept his sovereignty, when we accept that he is the supreme ruler, that no one is higher than him, that no one's greater, that when we've talked to God, there's no one left to appeal to. There's no one further to ask to do something about it. But that's a wonderful thing about God, too. He is approachable. There's always an opening in his schedule. He's never too busy for us. He's always there for us. God's kingdom is unlike any kingdom of this world. We serve a loving God, and he loves us deeply. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, God of angel armies. He has lots of angels that he dispatches to minister to us. How many? We may never know on this side of eternity. But he is faithful to fight for us. But we have to be willing to turn it over to him. Submit it to him. Be willing to let him be the one to have control over it. As long as we try to take it and engage in that battle, God can't do what he wants to do. He gave us free will. He wants us to recognize that and give it to him. When we try to do anything on our own, we will fail. When we try to do our own thing, it's not going to prosper. It's very important to stay in the relationship with God. The enemy would love nothing more than to try to get us to depart the gathering of the saints. He wants to get us to fall away from the flock. He's the wolf that looks for the wandering ones, and he tries to scatter them away from the rest. Many of you heard it before, that if you give the enemy an inch, he'll take your life. That's why it's important to abide in the Father and in his love. In the last year, we went through the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We've seen the protection that there is in residing in God's love. But we have to remain in relationship with him. No matter what we're going through, we have the answer to it right there with us. We have God the Father, we have Jesus the Son, and we have Holy Spirit. We have the one who will listen to us. We have the one that will comfort us. The first thing we do is we take our concerns to him. God truly does love us. He's the answer that we're looking for. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are our fortress and our strength. Lord, you are the one that we run to seek shelter from the enemy. Lord, we praise you for the good times We praise you for when things don't go our way. Lord, we thank you that above all else, you love us. Above all else, you desire to have that relationship with us, God. We thank you that you are a forgiving and loving and kind God, that you are not too far off for us to come boldly to your throne. Lord, we thank you for the power of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the reconciliation that you have for us to be brought back to you. Lord, we thank you for this nation. Lord, have your way in this nation. Lord, let your principalities and powers be known. Let those of the enemy be destroyed. Lord, we speak to those strongholds and we tell them to come down right now. We release righteousness on this nation, God. We release truth on this nation. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in our very lives. We submit it to you. We turn it all over to you, God. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.